if you would, take your copy of God's Word and turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 3. 2 Timothy, chapter number 3. Now, we read through the book of 1 and 2 Timothy, 1 and 2 Peter. And something that you picked up on, I know, in 2 Timothy and in 1 and 2 Peter about the suffering of the brethren and these perilous times of false teachers and false prophets that will continue to progress in the later days. And the Bible is clear on this. We don't have an expectation of these things getting better, but only worse. But we, as the people of God, been set apart at this time to endure and to be faithful to the Lord, to be faithful to His Word, and to undergird sound, solid, healthy preaching of the truth that God may be honored and glorified. And I'm going to start in verse number 1, and we're just going to look at some things in the chapter number 4 that will help us in the coming days. We never know where we may find ourselves tomorrow. We never know where we may find ourselves a year from now. We just never know. And we just don't know who we're going to come in contact with over the next several days for whom we might be able to help, who is in a situation, who is looking for an answer, that we may be able to help them in regards to these things. So these are beneficial for us. Look in verse number 1 of 2 Timothy chapter number 3. He says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors and heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For this sort are they which creep into houses, lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest to all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast followed, fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium, at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Father, we ask you tonight to help us with these truths. We're going to stand before you and humble ourselves and just bless you tonight in the fact that we're asking you to help us understand these things. Lord, we can't know them. We can't fully see the heart of your spirit as you spoke to your servant Timothy in that day unless you illuminate to our mind the very intent and the purpose that you gave these prophetic passages to. For the Bible tells us that no prophecy of Scripture is of private interpretation. And Lord, we're asking you who moved upon the heart of holy men as you decided to write this word, we ask you now, Lord, to be delighted to teach us this word and help us begin to look for and help others around us in our community, upon our jobs, wherever we may find ourselves in the mission that you've called us to help others, Lord, seek out the truth and to walk faithfully with you. So we just praise you tonight and thank you so much. We love you. We bless you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we look at these passages, it's pretty clear that Paul is given a prophetic reference to things that are yet to come, and he's teaching this young pastor as well as some of the things that we've seen in Peter. Matter of fact, turn to 2 Peter. Let's just look at it. We know if you go to Hebrews and then you'll come to Peter, he's going to say in 2 Peter chapter number 2, let's just look there for a moment and just get this picture that we've been invaded with this thought process, these warnings from the truth. I just feel like it is imperative for us to look at it and see what God would have for us. But he says in 2 Peter chapter 2, did y'all enjoy reading in Peter? What a blessing, amen? He says in verse number 1, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who secretly shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying or verbally denouncing the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness they will mislead, they will be artificial with these great shaped and swelling words, make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. And he gives some illustrations. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overflow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of the uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. And he goes on to say many other things about these conditions, but we can rest assured that God knows how to deliver the righteous. Amen? Amen. And we are blessed by the fact that, I like how Peter did this as he was unfolding. He started out with this great host of angels as we know, and we read that passage this morning where it says that that serpent of old took a third of the host of the stars and he cast them down to the earth. Many believe that that is a prophetic reference to the number of angels that followed his leadership, and a third of the angels, which we have no idea how many that is, but we do know that more than likely that's a tremendous amount, a large number of angelic hosts. And this large host of angels that God dealt with in judgment, and then he brings it down to another notch when he says that God also destroyed the world. That old world that rebelled against him, God destroyed them. But then he takes it and he brings it down to even a narrow notch, and he says, God destroyed a city, Sodom and Gomorrah. And then he brings it down to where it gets personal with you and me. And he deals with one individual by the name of Lot. And deliver. Isn't that a great progress of what we see God doing? That look, God deals with a great multitude of number, whether they be angels, angelic hosts who rebel against him, whether it be a world that rebels against him, or whether it be a city or just an individual. We all will face our Maker in the coming day, but God knows how to deliver the righteous out of temptations. Amen? So we can have great confidence in the Lord, even in perilous times when things will wax worse and worse. God's given us some great answers of how to mark and know godly men and women who are serving the Lord with a fervent spirit under the unction of the Holy Ghost, doing what God's called them to do. And let's just go back to Timothy and see what he has to say there. I think the answer for us, I've got several answers that can help us in the coming day. Like I said, we never know where we may be found, what teacher or what preacher we may find ourselves under. We never know where we may be, and we need to know that God's got some clear, identifiable marks for us. That's right. He says in verse number 10, he says to Timothy, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, Timothy, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, and deceiving and being deceived. But you, Timothy, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. I think this is one of the most fundamental errors of our modern day, is that people are submitting to teachers and preachers that they really do not know. They do not know. Now, I am thankful for the blessings of the internet, radio, television broadcasts that are getting a message out across the world that is seeing people come to know the Lord, and people, their lives are being transformed. And I believe God has used that, and I see that things are happening with that. But I think it's also one of the main tools that has crippled the body of Christ in our modern day. And the reason is that we've got these parachurches, that is, churches or assemblies that are set up apart from a local assembly of the body of Christ, these local churches, and these are parachurches that people belong to on the internet or by radio or by TV or whatever it may be, and that's just not God's design for his people. God's designed his people to have a community, a people who come together, who live among one another, who love one another, who work with one another, who serve one another, and who have a heart to serve the world because of the cause of Jesus Christ. And he said, Timothy, you need to remember that it's only going to get worse. And they will heap up teachers for themselves. They will pile up a reservoir of teachers that will fit their desires and their needs. They'll do it. It's going to happen. They're going to have schools that fund them and going to send them out and launch them out. They're going to heap them up to satisfy what they want to hear. And they'll do that. And we understand that that happens. It's happening as we speak now. But one thing that we need to know, how can I guard myself from being misled and taken down the wrong path with false teaching and false teachers? One, this is what I want to get across tonight, is that I believe this will help you where you are, but I believe it's also going to be used to help other people, is that we need to have accessibility to the teacher. The teacher, preacher, prophet, whatever he may be, however you want to call him, the overseer, the bishop, the elder, the shepherd, the one who feeds the flock, his accessibility. Paul reminds Timothy in chapter 3 in verse number 10, what are you doing, pretty girl? She's trying to get my attention up here. He says, thou hast fully known my doctrine. Now, what does the word doctrine mean? Beliefs, what else? It's the base of your beliefs, your faith upon. Truth, that's the heart of it. We believe that if we're going to base our bases on anything, because there are doctrines that are false, but they're still called doctrines. Even God describes them as doctrines. He calls them doctrines of what? Of devils. They are a system that somebody would describe or believe to be true to themselves, even though they could be false. They still a body of truth that they hold to, principles that they hold to, systems of truth that they hold to, whether they be false or not. Now, we know that only that Jesus Christ came to bear witness to the truth, and the only way to understand and know the truth is by knowing him and knowing his word. So he's saying that Timothy, my doctrine, my truth, what I stood upon was fully known unto you. There was nothing to be hidden. There was nothing to be covered. It was fully known. Not only my doctrine, but he goes on and shows his accessibility in every facet of his life. Look at this. I mean, you can't deny the fact that Timothy knew Paul, and therefore, he says in that verse 10, you have known my doctrine, my manner of life. You knew my purpose. You knew what I believed, what I was persuaded. You knew my patience, the long-suffering, the tenderness in my life. You knew what I loved. You knew how I would bear the load and come under in patience. You knew my persecutions. You knew how I was afflicted, which came to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. He's saying that Paul has this accessibility. He could fellowship with him. He can walk with him. He can stay with him. He can maneuver and walk through a community with him, or go from place to place, ride on a ship with him, on mission with him, whatever it is. And if you and I are going to submit to and understand the teaching of the Word of God, our teachers, they need to be accessible to us. It's fundamental. Why? As Paul told him, the false teachers will be deceiving and being deceived. They are going to continue to wax worse and worse. But at the same time, Timothy, you must remember the things that thou hast heard and learned, knowing for whom you learned them from. So fundamental. We got to know who we're learning things from. Amen? Amen. We got to know the person. Know the individual. And that's why, look, our lives are an open book before y'all. Our home's open to you. Our lives are open to you. If there's something you need to know, want to know, all you got to do is ask. If you want to walk with us, come walk with us. If you want to go with us, come go with us. We're open to you. We want to be accessible to you as an overseer who has been given a task to lead and have a vision of what God is doing, to feed as a shepherd the flock, the truths of the Word of God, and to be what God's called us to be. I want to be accessible to you. And I pray y'all know that I've made myself accessible to you. And for us to be what we need to be, we need to help other people recognize that they need a shepherd that is accessible to them, that they cannot survive by turning on the TV and watching somebody on TV. They cannot be what God's called them to be and be what God has called them to be and using him for kingdom growth if all they do is go to the internet and learn from that. And I can't cop out on the fact, well, I belong to a local church, but somebody like Charles Swindoll or David Jeremiah or John MacArthur or Adrian Rogers, look, these are great men that God has used in significant ways. There's no question about that. They are where they are for a reason. And they are great preachers. They can out-preach most preachers across the country and around the world. But God still has not designed his body to function and to be fed by men over a radio or the internet. He's put them in a local assembly to be accessible to a shepherd for whom he has given them to have a vision, a superior vision, to lead them in the journey that God's called them to be. No matter how we look at it, God still has his way. Amen? And we want to see, and we want to help people, because I guarantee you there'll be more people in Kemper County and Sumner County and Lauderdale County and Noxubee County, wherever we go, there'll be more people that will be more prone to follow the leadership of a David Jeremiah than they would their local pastor. And that's out of order. That is not of God. No matter how we want to look at it, even though God's appointed these men and he's using them, I really believe he has and will, but that still is not his design, because you can't access him. You don't know his manner of doctrine. You don't know his life. You don't know his purpose, his agenda, his aim. You haven't been with him and watched him go through things. And yes, they've written books, and yes, they've shared things with us, and all those that we can learn some of those things, but I can't still sit down and talk with him. And he can't still come walk with me and help me out when I need help to walk through. I still glean and learn some things, but I've got to always put it in proper order, that is not the shepherd over my life. That is not who God's appointed to walk with me. He's given me somebody who is accessible to me. And if he hasn't, there's a problem there. Amen? Because remember, the first message I ever preached here on that Sunday y'all invited me in, which was, I believe, October 4th or 5th, October 4th of last year, so just a year ago, we looked at Jeremiah chapter number 3. And God said, look, my people, if you will just acknowledge your ways before me, that you have transgressed me, that you have scattered your ways under every green tree, and that you're divided in your heart and you're going the opposite way. If you will acknowledge that, turn from that, look unto me, I will give you a leader, a shepherd, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding of me. That's a promise from the Lord, amen? And when we find people in the highways and the byways of life, because you will, that say, well, I just don't get fed by my pastor. And that may be the case. Well, I'm not being led by or being filled with or whatever happens. Well, Jeremiah 3 would be a great place to start, because God has promised us that if our hearts are right with him, he's going to give us a shepherd that'll feed us. And also, Proverbs 10:3, remember what it says, the Lord will not suffer the righteous soul to famish. He's going to feed his people, amen? And he's always going to feed them. In his way is to have somebody who is accessible their life so you can know them and know who they are. And praise God for that. But just knowing a pastor and knowing his ways and manner of life is not where it's a start, but it's not where we stop. Because you could know him, love him, know what he's gone through, know everything about him, and he could still be wrong. What is his authority? What authenticates him in his life? And Paul answers that. You see, that's the second thing. His accessibility. The second thing is his authority. He tells us in chapter number 3 how to determine his authority. Look in verse number 15. What does he tell Timothy? Timothy, you know me. You fully know me. You got to know who you're learning from. But verse 15 says, and that from childhood, as a child, thou hast what? Known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Now, Timothy was what? Timothy was a saved man, wasn't he? Here he is. He's a preacher. He's pastoring the church at Ephesus when he writes these things. He's writing in the present tense, thou hast known in the past the Holy Scriptures, which are currently right now able to make you wise for what? Is he talking about his eternal redemptive salvation, or is he talking about the daily life deliverance of the setting free of the truth of the living God? Timothy, you know the Word of God. You know the Holy Scriptures, which is able to make you wise how to take the next step so that God will daily be delivering you, and you can authenticate those whom you are learning from by way of the truth of the Word of God. We've got to have a standard, amen? Our lives as shepherds, as Bible teachers, as Sunday school teachers, as individuals in the body of Christ, we all should have this accessibility in our life to one another, but we must be based upon an authority. What is our authority of why we do what we do? And it must be the Word of God. Got to have a standard. It has to be based on the authority of the Word of God. And he says in verse number 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, is usable, is a great asset for doctrine. And when we think of this word doctrine, it is truth, it is beliefs that we based on. The idea is for clarification in life. The truth of the Word of God always clarifies things. It's clear, it's bright, it's true. Amen? So the Scriptures is usable. It's given by inspiration. It's God-breathed, and it is usable for clarification and for also for reproof. Now, what is the word reproof here? When somebody is reproved, they're what? The idea is that they are convinced by way of conviction. God brings conviction. When it's good for reproof, it is to convince someone of a fault, so therefore it brings conviction upon them. If you can't if the truth can't convince you are wrong, you will never be convicted. You have to be convinced. When God brings clarification of his ways to us, the automatic next thing ought to be what? We fall under great conviction. Why? Because our ways are not matched up with his ways. That's the profit of the Scriptures. It brings clarification, and this clarification brings conviction that it convinces us of a fault. And for what? Not only doctrine, not only reproof, but for what? Here comes the correction. Why does God clarify to us our way is in error? So that he can convince us that we're not right, so that he then what? Can correct us, amen? And once he corrects us, then he'll daily lead us in instructions in righteousness. Aren't you glad for the Word of God, amen?
Amen.
So we see it's for clarification, it's for conviction, it's for correction, but it's also for confirmation of righteousness. Instructions in righteousness. For what reason? Verse 17. The word that is a purpose statement. What is the purpose? Remember, you've heard me say this before. If I don't know a purpose of a thing, it's only inevitable I will misuse it. I think we misuse the Scriptures in our lives sometimes, don't we? Remember, it's God-breathed. It's of no private interpretation. It's for a purpose. It's for a reason. And God gives us this clarification of his ways to convince us that our ways not line with his ways, so that our ways can be corrected to his ways, and that our ways can be confirmed how to live out his ways in this life, so that we can be what? That man or woman of God who is, what does your passage say in verse 17? Perfect, right? Makes perfect. Thoroughly furnished for every good work. The word perfect or the word complete is a word that is used of a fruit that is suspended on a vine that is ripe for the picking, if ready to eat. You can walk upon it and take it off and take a bite of it. It's ready. Have you ever just walked through a vineyard or walked through something, just picked fruit off the tree and ate it right there? Amen. The Scripture is teaching us this is the purpose of why God gives us his word, the authority of our life, the standard by which we're to live by, is that this word that brings clarification of his ways that convinces us of our way, of corrects us to his way, and then continually leads us, is so that we can have a suspended fresh fruit upon our lips, upon our mouth, that can feed other people. Amen. That's the whole purpose of the word. Amen? Amen. So that when I speak, I've got a fresh fruit from the vine of God ready to feed somebody with his word. And that's the way we're to live. Amen? Yeah. Feeding one another with the fresh fruit of the word of God. And it's only then are we thoroughly furnished for every good work. If I don't have the suspended fruit of the living oracles of God upon my lips, upon my mouth, how can I be prepared for a good work of God? I'm not. So you see, the preacher or teacher, his accessibility is vital. But what's even more vital than that is that his authority to do what he's doing and the fruit that he has given must be based on the word of God. Has to be. Has to be the standard by which everything in our life is measured by. And then it goes on another step. What is that? What is the agenda of the preacher? If we have access to him, we see his authority, what is going to be his agenda? What does verse 1 of chapter 4 say? What is he to do? What is his agenda? He is to what? He says, I charge thee, Timothy, to do what? Herald not. Funny stories. He didn't say that, did he? Not jokes. He didn't say that, did he? What did he say? Ain't Faith been telling me the whole time? Preach the word. Herald the word. Proclaim the word. You see, when the word is your authority, that's what you want to give away to people. Go preach the word. It's the Holy Scriptures. It's what's going to transform and change lives. It's the only thing that God has anointed for you to do. As the man of God who is thoroughly furnished for every good work, who has fresh fruit upon his mouth to feed the flock, to teach the living oracles of God, go preach. Go preach the word. Go preach the word. And the agenda of the man of God that is accessible based on the authority of the Word of God, his agenda is to proclaim the Word of God. Why? Because that is his duty as a shepherd of a flock, is to feed the flock with what? The knowledge and understanding of God. Well, how do we understand and know who God is? By his Word, amen. It's a revelation of himself. So the agenda is to preach the word. So when we're out and about in the highways and the byways and we work with people who are not involved in fellowships, who are not going and connected with the body of Christ, and folks, I can't abide in the vine, which Jesus is the vine and I'm the branches. I can't abide in him without abiding in the body of Christ, because the body of Christ is just that, the body of Christ. And if I'm going to be connected to the vine, I need to be connected to the body of Christ. I need to be involved in the life of the fellowship that God has given, and I need to have a pastor that is accessible, one who has based his life upon the authority of the word and who has an agenda to preach the word. To preach the word when? Now, what does that mean? In season and out of season. Look what this word says. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Verse 2, preach or herald the word, be instant, in season and out of season. Anybody know what the word instant means? Means what? Quick? Instant? Who was school teachers? Who taught school? You ever had to do a roll call? When you gave a roll call and you announced something, say, if I was sitting here and you gave a roll call and you said Nick Holden, either I was to stand and say present, or whatever, and you didn't expect me just to linger around. You was expecting it to be instant. It means to stand up and be counted. The idea is stand up and be counted. Stand up to be recognized. Stand up to be counted. To be present instant. It's a roll call. I remember on the ship we used to do these drills, and we did them fairly often. They was man overboard drills. And they would ring the alarm, and they would go on the loudspeaker across the intercom on the ship, and they'd say, man overboard, man overboard. And we had to all gather in certain places when that happened, whether it was at 2 o'clock in the morning or whether it was at 4 o'clock in the evening or 9 o'clock in the morning or high noon, whether you was in the galley eating or you was in the bed sleeping. When they said man overboard, that meant every single individual on that ship had to be accounted for. And you couldn't waste no time. You'd get in trouble if you laid up in that rack and they had to come get you out. You'd be in trouble. Why? Because the chief engineer, I was in the engineering department, every department head had to call up to the bridge and acknowledge to the captain, all my people are present and accounted for. And it wasn't that you can take somebody's word for it. Whoever was responsible had to lay their eyes upon every single person and write them off. And I was on a ship that had about 1,200 Navy crew and nearly 2,000 Marines. That's a lot of people to account for in a short period of time. Why? Because there's the potential that one of those Marines or sailors is in that water. And I don't know if you've ever been out on the Atlantic Ocean or out in the Mediterranean or out in the Gulf or out in the Persian Gulf or in the Red Sea. The Red Sea ain't all that bad. You fall off the Red Sea, you can swim to the other side. You can throw a football on either side and throw it to land from the deck of a ship in the Red Sea. But you get out in that deep blue yonder of the Atlantic Ocean, there ain't nothing for weeks and months if you was in a little boat or you just floated. You're talking about a lot. And what they would do is that they wanted to make sure that they can account for every single soul on that ship, and you had to be instant. You had to stand up and be counted. You had to be on the roll. So what is he saying to Timothy? His agenda, this man of God who is accessible based on the authority of the Word of God, what is he to do? He's to stand up and to be counted. He's to stand up and be counted for God. And the only way that happens is he's got to herald the Word. Amen? He's got to stand up. He's got to be counted. When, though, is he to stand up? At all times? How does the Scripture describe it? In season and what? Now, what does that mean? Now, we know it means all times, but let's think of some ways in how this means. When something's in season, that means it's what? It's popular, okay. Convenient, not convenient. Sunday morning. Well, think about this. The idea is when something's in season, it's something that's expected, right? I mean, when something's in season, like right now, I mean, the pecans are dropping, aren't they? You expect pecans right now. You expect acorns to be on the ground right now. Why? It's the season for them. So he's saying that you need, as the herald of God, as the man of God who has the agenda of God upon his life, Timothy, you are to stand up and be counted when it's expected. When it's expected. But you're also to stand up and be counted when it's not expected. You know, that's the difficult side of it. That oftentimes there is an expectation for the preacher to preach, like today, but there's times in our lives when we're called to stand up and be counted for God when it's not expected. When it's in season, it's wanted, right? When it's wanted. People gather together like today and say, preacher, I want it. And we know that when churches gather together and people come, not every time people want what God has prepared to reveal. And the evidence of that, he tells them that they will eventually heap up for themselves their own teachers because they didn't want to hear the truth, so they set up their own teachers, and they expected them, and they wanted them to preach, but they limited them what they could preach. So he's saying you as the man of God with the agenda of God must stand up and be counted, be present, be stand up on the role of God when it is wanted and when it's unwanted. When people are looking for it and when they're not looking for it. And we need to have, that's what we need men of God today that would be counted for God when it's wanted and unwanted, when it's in season and out of season, when it's expected and unexpected, when it's convenient, when it's not convenient, when it's going to bring great reward, when it's going to cost you. Got to stand up and be counted for the glory of God. That's all of us. Look, if I consider myself as a man of God, whether I'm a preacher or not, we've all been called to herald the word, amen? So we all are to be accessible one to another. That's why we're part of the family of God. We all should base our life upon the authority of the word of God, and therefore we all should have the agenda of God, and that God's called me to herald and stand up and be counted for him when it's wanted, when it's unwanted, when it's expected, when it's not expected, when it's convenient and inconvenient. Got to stand up. Have you ever heard anybody, don't be preaching to me. Come on, have you ever heard anybody tell you that? Now don't, quit preaching to me. Y'all heard that before, hadn't you? Have you ever told anybody that? Don't be preaching to me. You have, I know. We all have, haven't we? Not only have we heard it from the other side, but we are oftentimes the ones saying, now look, don't be preaching to me, preacher. Don't be telling me that. You see, but that's when we've got to stand up and be counted. Now, there is a motive in all this. There is a way that we're to do it, though. And he tells us this. Look, if you would. We're going to get to that just in a second before we wrap up. He says in verse 2, proclaim or herald the word, stand up, be present, be counted as God's man, as God's woman, when it's wanted and unwanted, in season and out of season. And then he says, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Now, he's already told us that the word of God up previous is given for the whole purpose of rebuke or to reprove. But in this passage, he says, when it's wanted and unwanted, I want you to see the progress here. The word reproof means that very thing, to tell one's fault. As the preacher of God, as the woman of God, as the man of God, as a man over his own house, as a mother who's been given great accountability of stewardship over her home, on the job, whatever it may be, when we have to stand up and be counted for God, we are used by him to share or to point out error, a fault. Remember, that happens by way of the truth. The truth brings clarification so that it can bring conviction, so that it can correct and then continue to lead in righteousness. So we use the word of God to do what we do. It's not our opinions that we're to bring to the table. Amen? When we're to stand up and be counted for God, what we do is we bring the word of God that's going to bring clarification so that we can convince them or convict them. Not we, but the word will convince them of their error. Now, the key is that I've got to know the word. Therefore, I have clarification from God to be able to recognize the error so that I can stand up and do what I need to do. And I can point out the error, but I want you to know, watch the flow of this. Not only point out the error, but he also says in this verse, what? Reprove and rebuke. This word rebuke is different from the previous word that we just read, and it means to share a superior way. There is a way that is higher, on a higher plane to live. So when I take the word of God that gives clarification and I herald that when it's wanted and unwanted, what it's to do is point out the error, but it's then used to show a superior way. It's not that I can just put my finger on somebody and condemn them where they are, because we can all do that. We can easily point out and condemn somebody and say, look, you are in fault. You are sorry, no good, pitiful. You are useless, all these things, and they all may be accurate. But what I need to have is a better way, and I need to be able to give that away. That, look, you are in error, you are in fault. And we can see that by the clarification of the Word of God. But also, let me show you a superior way, God's way of doing this. You've been doing it man's way. You've been doing it your own way. You've been living for yourself. But let me show you God's way. Let me show you what God says about this particular era that you're in. But then let's let him lead you into a superior way. And then he moves on to the next word. Not only reproof, not only rebuke, but what? Exhort. You know what he's saying there? You invoking them or inviting them to come follow you in this superior way, to come walk with you. That's the heart of the agenda of the man of God who is accessible and on the authority of the Word of God. He can tell you what's wrong with you. He can show you God's way, but then he invites you to come walk alongside with him as you both live out God's way together. He's not just going to point the finger and tell you something's wrong with you and then leave you where you are. He's going to say, God's got a better way. Matter of fact, let me come put my arm around you and let's go walk in God's way. That's what the preacher does. Amen? Well, that's you encouraging them because you're standing beside them and you invoking them to walk down the path with you. That's the thing. You're not telling somebody to go do something that you're not doing. You're not showing them their fault, showing them God's way, and then say, go live it, but you're not desiring to live that way either. You're invoking them to come walk with you. You're going to lead them and walk with them. And if we would do that, we would see things, we'd see things transform in people's lives. Amen? Amen. Now, one thing that can't happen with somebody on the internet or somebody on, and look, I'm on the internet. My message, I've got message on there that's been viewed. Pushing 115,000 views of messages that I preached. But you know one thing I can't do on the internet? I can't come and put my arm around somebody and say, come, let's go walk together through this. Can't do that. All I can do is point them to God's way, and God's way is to get under the leadership of somebody who can and can take you down that road. Amen? You see, God uses things like that, but that use is only limited. That use is to lead us to something else, God's design. And that design is that I've got to be around somebody who's accessible, somebody standing on the authority of the Word, and somebody who has an agenda of God to herald the Word of God in a way that can point out error, in a way that can show God's way, in a way that says, come walk with me, and let's walk through this life together. But he also says you need to do it with what? Long-suffering. Long-suffering in what? And doctrine. You know what he's saying? You need to be tender and you need to be true. Tender truth together. Compassion with conviction upon your heart of God's way. You do it. When you preach and herald the Word on the job and you show somebody their error, you do it tenderly. And you do it based on the truth. When you invite them to come walk with you, you do it tenderly. And you do it based on the truth. Now, we've all failed in this. Amen. I failed in it in my personal life, my daily life, my preaching life, where I was hard and I could point out the way and I even showed the right way and even invited somebody to come and walk with me, but I probably did it a little harder than I probably should have did it. Have you ever did it that way? You know what I'm talking about? He's saying, be long-suffering. The idea of long-suffering is that you suffer long with them. You suffer pain long. You can wait. You are urgent, but patient. You see the sense of urgency that they need to turn now, but you're balancing that by the ability to wait on God to work and do his work because you're dealing with truth and you're dealing with an element that only God can intervene. Remember, to do these things, to correct somebody, we need to be praying, right? Amen. That God, would you grant them repentance? Would you show them your truth? Will you give them a mind to act on it, and Lord, that they escape the snare of the enemy. And Father, I want to be an instrument that can show them that they are living in error and not doing what you... They're not heralds of the Word. They're not accessible to the body of Christ. They get in their homes, they shelter themselves, and they don't want nobody around them or really know them. That's not God's way. Amen? They can't base what they're doing on the authority of God's word. That's not God's way. God wants us to base everything on the authority of his word, and he wants us to have his agenda of heralding the word of God, to point out error, to show his way, and invite others to come walk with him, but to do it tenderly and do it in truth, based on the truth of God's word. And if you're not doing that, you're in error. Amen? And God says, I got a better way for you to live. And I say, come on, let's go do it. Let's go walk in it together. Let's go walk together. You see, I believe God's given us this word, and the reason he's carried us through Timothy and Titus and brought us into where we are with Peter is that these things are helping us to help other people in the coming day, that God has a right, that God does have a way. But remember, when you help them, be tender and let it be based on the truth. Point out their error. Show them the right way. And say, come, and if you need any help, let's go walk together through this. Because I was there one time, too. I lived in error. Somebody come showed it to me and said, come follow and let's go walk with the Lord. It didn't start with us. Can't stop with us. Amen. Amen. Praise God for the blood of the Lamb. And we've been brought near by Jesus Christ. Would you stand with me? Father, we thank you for your word, your truth, and we ask you tonight to help us in these perilous times when many things are unexplainable. It's difficult to determine oftentimes what is truth and error, so we're asking for a spirit of discernment. We're asking for discretion, for understanding and wisdom and the knowledge of your ways. You told us already that you have given us exceeding and great promises, precious promises, and that if we will richly supply to our faith courage, virtue, and Lord, temperance and knowledge, and brotherly affection and love and patience, that we would not stumble, but a road into the kingdom of God will be richly supplied to us, and we will not be barren nor stumble in the knowledge of God. You have given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Now we just ask to be vehicles or vessels you could use to help others around us find an assembly of people that will have teachers and shepherds that would lead them according to your heart. For we want to do what you've called us to do in these days, and we give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You respond to the Lord.